Suttato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namaskarami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Rāmane Sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Abhidhādhāna Rāmane Sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kālesu micchācāraṃ Rāmane Sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kusavada viramani sikkhapadam smadhiyami. Suradheraya macha pamadatana viramani sikkhapadam smadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us turn to page 3. Of that something more, and we shall continue our Padipa Puja chanting. Okay, Padipa Puja, offerings of life. Ganna sarapa ditena, ditena tamadam sina, siloka dipam sambutam, pujayami tamonudam. Ganda sambara yutena dupena pam sukham hina pujaye pujaniyam pam puja bhajana muttama vanna ganda guno peta hetam kusuma santati Pujayami Mohindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujayami Bhutam Kusumena Nena Punnena Mattena Cha Hotu Mokam Upam Milayati Yata Idamme Kayo tata yati na sabawang Adivase tu no bante Paniyam parikapitam Anukampang upadaya Patigam hatu muttamang Adivase tu no bante Pāli parikā pitaṁ ānukampaṁ upādāya pātigaṁ tātu bhūtamaṁ ādivāse tu no bhante ko ยานังปริคาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุโมทะมะ Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. May significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain power and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all this merits born of all these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. And finally, the sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's be respect to Pajan. Buddham Pujhe. Dhammam Pujhe. Sangham Pujhe. Okay, here we can be seated. Let's give it up. We are off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. Just remember to relax body and mind completely, yes? And maintain awareness for as long as you can. So the four support to assist in development of awareness are very important. So the first of all, as explained, relax. Relax into every mind state that arises within body and mind. Wherever you feel any tension, tightness, or stress within or any mind state building up, you just relax into it. Feel it soothing and relaxing. Then you can also combine mind supreme method. Radiating a radiant smile. Is look into the mirror. Visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are relaxed. You have joy. Then after that, You can see every part of your body relax more. You can start with the forehead, sinking down to your neck and back. Every part within your facial muscle, every part of your body from the forehead down. Then after that, just relax and silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. When the thought is completely not active, means without thought, you are already aware. That's why you just relax and meditate. No need to think, no need to know and to do anything. All those knowing and doing is always by the thought process. So just maintain awareness. Whatever arises, as a human being, we have a physical body with the senses, then we have the mind that is actively thinking. Unless you have training, you have developed the ability to be aware, then that mind can settle down. Otherwise, the mental hindrance will cause you to think, to arise the mental states that are very negative and not conducive for meditation. That's why they are called mental hindrance. Mental states that hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness. So when you understand all this, then you will know how to relax, maintain your mind silently, don't try to know. Whatever arises, just allow it to arise and let it pass. Arise, finish. Awake, finish. Continue to let that mind settle down until finally everything becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. So the first three of the four support is very important. First is to relax. Second step is to maintain awareness. And the third step is to maintain the awareness for as long as you can until the mind returns to its original state and settles down into stillness, tranquility. That stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, is your true mind. Sometimes we call it the silent mind because it does not chatter. It does not verbalize. It's completely quiet still. Then stabilize that awareness within. When you can do that, you have developed the ability to be aware. When you can be aware, you can develop the stability of it to become mindful. Then when the ability to stabilize it for a long period, you become ever mindful. Then use that mind state that is ever mindful to develop understanding, to meditate, to insight, to know, to see things as they are. Then whatever arises, just observe. Silently observe without any reaction, without any interference from your memory or thought process. Just maintain awareness. Then when it has stabilized, that mind, which is the awareness nature, your true mind, can awaken and insight into phenomena and develop the understanding of what is going on within existence or life. Then you will come to know clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. How the senses upon contact with the external sense data give rise to their proper sense of consciousness, and how your views, opinion, memory, belief system, tradition, condition your connectivity. And this negativity is what you put into the container of consciousness to translate to a thought process. So the arising of thought is the arising of remembrance. So thought is respond to memory. The beginning of registration of memory trigger of thought process. So thought being a response from memory is very important. You have to see that. Then you understand why there is no thinker behind the thought. The thought is dependent originally from memory. It surface. It responds from that memory. Without memory, there is no thought. So all this understanding will arise, surface. Then after that, you can be throughout the day mindful, aware, and you use it to live life. Then that mind becomes very deep. That mind becomes the meditative mind. It can develop understanding. It can develop wisdom. Then it can awaken. It has the ability to see things as they are. And through that silence, it can also understand them. Then it can also insight into them and develop the wisdom to awaken. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Now I will set the alarm, 30 minutes. Okay, you can slowly come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever in the peace, in the calmness, and in the awareness that you have to, as long as you can. These are the mind states that we need to develop the daily mindfulness, settling down the mind so that it can develop the wisdom. Okay, now we shall chant the invocation to the Devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Seasons, which gives heaven and Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalisu Atragachantu Divata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkada Dhamma Svanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Bija charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro Purisada Masarati Santa Deva Sana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akariko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Ajatam Veditato Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sangasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sangasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sangasango Samijjipatipanno Bhagavato Sangasango Yahidam chatari purisa yokani atta purisa pura esa bhagavato sakasango ahuneyo ahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anotaram punyam cheta lokasati sadhu 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 okay yeah can be said that and we will continue from our sharing of this book the unit Dhamma content. I think we are at page two, quote number six. So the unit Dhamma quote number six, I will read to you. You must pay attention. Meditation is taught by the Buddha is to develop a stable sati, leading to heedfulness, then to see things as they are, and to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca, dukkha, anatta, to awaken, thereby realizing the wisdom needed to free all mind. So this is a very complete definition. As we all know, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. So within this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha actually developed the three types of wisdom by turning it three times. And to develop the understanding of it, we need to understand one thing that the Buddha always emphasized on. Under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, he always emphasized on this word Appamadeva or Appamada. So even before his parinibbana, before he passed away, he also advised the monks to strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless. So his famous saying, Appamadena Sampadeta. So the emphasis is strive on with heedfulness. He didn't ask you to use effort to strive on, but you must develop heedfulness, then only strive on. So strive on with heedfulness is very important. As we have control, what is heedfulness? Heedfulness is to develop the quality of mind that is very stable, the meditative mind. So according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 23 is the definition of heedfulness. He said the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So these two qualities, constantly meditating, ever mindful, are the important ingredients of development of infinites. So to be ever mindful, we must train our mind to be mindful first, to be aware, then stabilizing, then we can have the first mind state that can lead to infinites. So when you have this stability of mindfulness, your mind becomes different. It is ever mindful. Then when you use it to meditate, which is to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it becomes infinite. That's why the definition that I give you is the same. Meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is to develop a stable sati. So meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is to develop a stable sati. So this one is to develop a stable sati. Then after that, leading to heedfulness. So these are very important understanding. To develop a stable sati leading to heedfulness, then after that, it will enable us to see things as they are. So to meditate is to have this ability to develop a very stable sati leading to heedfulness. Then only can we see things as they are. So after that, only can you develop the insight. Right? This insight is very important. You have to insight into the three universal characteristics. To insight into the three universal characteristics. So this one is Anicca, Dukkha, and Anatta. And after that, this one will enable us to develop the wisdom needed for enlightenment. So now we look at the key pointers so that we can develop the understanding. First is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. To start, we need to develop this quality of mind called heedfulness, which is apamada. So to be heedful, we have to be ever mindful, constantly meditating. That's why we need to develop a stable sati first. Then after that, stabilizing, leading to heedfulness. When we stabilize the sati, then we become ever mindful. And when we can use that mind state, which is ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is namely the Noble Eightfold Path, then this quality of mind, heedfulness, will arise. As long as you can have this mind state which is ever mindful, then constantly meditative. So meditation has two aspects of training. One is the formal meditation, where you silent everything, maintain awareness. Then relax body and mind completely, then allow the true mind to return. That is to realize the true mind first, the silent mind, which we call the meditative mind.
So once you have that developed means you already have a stable sati that is ever mindful. Because to be in that state, the thought must cease. The thought must not arise. So when you are in that state in a formal meditation, you don't do anything. That's why the four support will enable you to develop the meditation. As we all know, the four support is relax. Four support to develop awareness-based meditation. So these four support are relax, aware, then 24-hour, then trust. These four supports are needed when we are in a formal meditation. You just relax into every mind state that arises. Just relax, body and mind, completely relax. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then when you don't try to know and don't try to do anything, the mind is naturally just aware. Your awareness is the sati that you have developed. Yeah? The sati is defined as awareness before the knowing. That's why any attempt to know, to meditate, is to create the thought, to stir the thought. Then you cannot be aware. That if you are not relaxed, the awareness cannot arise. Because inability to relax means you have stress, tension, and problem within your body and mind. That's why ability to relax will enable you to be aware naturally. Then when you are aware, you have to stabilize it until it's ever mindful. So this awareness is in fact sati. Then after that, when this has stabilized, the first three, you allow the mind to be. Trust that nature to do the meditation. No thought involved. You stay at the heart area. Let it detect the gateway by itself. Then the movement, the meditative movement, is very natural by the silent mind, by the nature moving on its own. Means no thought involved. Okay? So this is the first aspect of the formal meditation. But there is another type of meditation which the Buddha taught us to reflect, to contemplate. Yeah. That one is daily mindfulness. When you are in the midst of life, you must also develop a very stable sati, which is daily mindfulness. So this sati, stable sati, can be either daily mindfulness or just the silent mind. When you stabilize it in the formal meditation, it's just the silent mind or your true mind, the awareness nature. And then that one on its own, it can observe, it can insight into phenomena, it can awaken. Whereas the second aspect is the stability of mindfulness in the midst of life. This one is active. This one is formal meditation. So here, formal meditation, I just put here. This one is for formal meditation. So develop a stable sati initially in the formal meditation is just the silent mind, awareness nature, it's just that nature. Once you have that stabilized, then you can come out of the formal meditation to develop the daily mindfulness. That one is in the midst of life. And this is the one that can lead also to heedfulness, to allow you to see things as they are. To see things as they are means the mindfulness or the awareness is just aware. No thought involved. No perception, nothing. That's why when you see something as they are, there is no word, no concept, nothing to describe what you see. So that is the pure perception, the pure seeing before the labeling, before the arising of the aggregates of mind. So that one is the most important. That is the direct seeing. Means you see things as they are, without words, without label. So to see that, you need a very stable daily mindfulness. And it's only after you can see things as they are that one can see reality, see truth. Not based on your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. Then you see things according to your own mental conditioning and belief system. That is not seeing truth. That is not seeing the reality. That is seeing the unreal, which is conditioned by your mental whatever belief system and conditioning. So that one is discriminative, biased, and with delusion. Whereas the other one that is born of sati has this ability to see things as they are and insight into phenomena. Insight into phenomena means that awareness nature is just silently observing. Then all of a sudden, through the phenomenal activity of movement, because it's one with it, specific phenomenal awareness is just aware. Then it can awaken, it can trigger awakening. Then when it see it so clearly, then it suddenly realize that everything is as per what the Buddha has taught us. Everything in this conditioned world is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then you start to see all the activity, the movement, the flow of nature. Means all of physical phenomena, all of our mental phenomena, all of our nature's phenomena, they exhibit these three universal characteristics. Means they are always changing, changing, changing. That's why it's called anicchang or anicca. So anicca means change. Means everything that arises through your observation, you will come to know. They are dependent originating. Without condition, nothing happens, nothing arises. But when condition arise, things manifest. That's why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. Then we can understand why the Buddha said, everything is created by the mind. 一切为心造. That's why the teaching is expressed in such a manner. Then when you understand anicca, or when you see dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, then you will come to understand why the characteristic of suffering is there. Well, all this happens following nature's law. It can be law of karma, physical law, Newton's law, or nature's phenomena acting in its natural way. The behavior of all the atomic particles, molecules, or even subatomic, they all exhibit this characteristic. There is constantly in a state of flux because of energy. That's why they move. They are dependent originating condition. When condition change, its characteristic change. Like water. When you freeze it, then it becomes ice or snow, frozen. Then when you melt it, it becomes water. Then when you boil it, it becomes boiling. Then if you continue to put in the heat, then it becomes vapor. That's why the three states allow the marvel of nature to be developed. That's why this is the what they call the cycle of nature, where water, which is basically one aspect of that element or that compound, because of causes and conditions, it can become very hard, very, I should say, solid, becoming ice or snow when you take away the temperature. Then when you continue to heat it, it will become vapor. That's how it can actually rise above the atmosphere. Then when it reaches high altitude, it can actually develop what they call condensation. Then it forms clouds. Then because of nature's condition, wind, everything, it can create all the activity that we call weather. So weather is a phenomenon. So some of the weather may not be so like so peaceful. Some can be very violent, like all the storm, hurricane, cyclone, and other things. Then when the weather can actually transform into very severe activity or movement, is all because of these three universal characteristics. So when you start to understand that this one is following nature's law, then when you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. That's why we need to understand all this. Then we can accept things as they are. We can see things as they are. Then without duality, without conflict, we can always be at peace. Then we need not suffer. Living beings suffer because they crave. Craving is the main cause of suffering. Craving means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. And because it's impermanent, it is also what we call anatta. Anatta means not a permanent, unchanging entity. We cannot say this is me, this is I. Means there is an atta. It's a permanent, unchanging entity where I can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say this is me, this is I. Then I can decide what I want to do. But like the physical body, our body and mind, as we know, it's subject to nature, nature's phenomena, nature's law. It's dependent, originating. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why we call it the anatta nature. Anatta nature means not a permanent entity that we can cling on to, hold on to. That's why it's non-self. Non-self. It's not self or no self. These are the two extremes. Self means permanent, unchanging entity. Through observation, we already know it is impermanent. That's why it cannot be self. That's why it is in between, non-self. So non-self is not self or no self. No self means totally empty, nothing. But there is something. But this one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why this one is anatta. So the human being is anatta, but is subject to karma. Whereas the true nature is not anatta. The true nature is actually the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it. Although in the teaching, the Buddha always used this word, sabbe sankhara anicca. Means all of sankhara, mind state, mental states, mental activity, they are impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. This is. Then sabbe sankhara, all of sankhara activity, thinking, mental formation, mental state, they will lead to suffering when you attach and cling and you want things your way. And because of that, he said, finally, sabbe dhamma anatta. Here he don't use Sankara already. He used Sabbe Dhamma. Dhamma means all of Sankata Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. Means Dhamma has two. One is mundane Dhamma, worldly Dhamma. The other one is the unconditioned, supramundane Dhamma. Both are still anatta, non-self. Empty, not what you think. Okay? So this one is very profound. And because it is non-self, we also sometimes call empty nature or existence. Means whatever arises is not so real, not what you think. When you understand the unconditioned Dhamma, you will understand all this. But if you fail to understand the unconditioned Dhamma, you cannot understand all this. So these three universal characteristics, the moment you insight into it, you will awaken and develop the wisdom. And this wisdom is what enlightenment is all about. So this one will lead to enlightenment. That's why I say that definition of the meditation as taught by the Buddha is very comprehensive. Okay? So hopefully with this understanding, you will be able to understand the teaching better. Yeah? Then you have to develop this understanding clearly so that you know what they are and you can develop the cultivation of it. Otherwise, it's not easy. So now, with all this explanation, I read again the quote, the unique quote number 6. Meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop a stable sati leading to heedfulness, to see things as they are, and to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicchang, dukkang, anatta, to awaken, thereby realizing the wisdom needed to free the mind. And that is what enlightenment is all about. So hopefully, with all this, the understanding can become very different. Then quote number 7 is the summary of it. Meditation must be done with understanding. So you understand unique quote number 6, you would have developed the understanding of what meditation is. Whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you to heedfulness, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And heedfulness got two parts. Mindfulness, stability of it, leading to ever mindful. Then constantly meditative. This one is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, so far, quotes 6 and 7, I think, they are connected, related. So if quote 7, you will understand how to proceed with the meditation to develop the cultivation. I always emphasize on this. Meditation must be done with understanding. If you don't have the understanding, you are wasting your time. And most people fail to progress to develop this awareness-based meditation is because they approach it using the wrong instrument, thought-based. They do not develop the awareness within. That's why the teaching of the sixth patriarch, Master Hui Ning, he developed the understanding through his three very unique hallmarks, the meditative hallmark of Hui Ning. The first thing he teaches is to take people out of the thought-based method and technique directly to realize the true mind, which is without thought. That's why his first hallmark is Wu Nian, no thought. Then how to develop no thought is to be aware. When you are aware, you are without thought. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought. That's why all the quote points toward that. When you are lost in thought means you think a lot. So when you think a lot, You are preoccupied with what you are thinking. That's why you become heedless. You are lost in thought. So man can only do one thing at a time, like I always explain. Either you are completely silent without thought, or you are heedlessly lost in thought, thinking, preoccupied with what you are thinking. And when you are doing that, how can you be aware? How can you be with the present moment to be aware of what is going on? That's why the awareness-based meditation is to develop this silent mind, which is without thought, to be aware. That is what meditation is all about. So when you don't have the understanding, you can be trapped in thought-based meditation for a very long period. And all the methods and techniques are all based on thought. The thought is the one that creates the meditation description. That's why we call it thought-based. Yeah. So thought-based means when you want to meditate, you ask people for a method and a technique. Then what did they give you? They give you a series of instructions to do things. That one has nothing to do with the meditation as taught by the Buddha, as we all have gone through. A series of instructions to do things has nothing to do with meditation. But traditionally, that approach has actually been taught for so long. The reason being, like I always explain, they don't know how to develop this understanding of awareness. The only instrument they have is thought, since birth until now. That is the only instrument they have. Then they realize that thought on its own cannot be silent, cannot be aware. They don't even know there is an awareness within the two minds. So what they do is they force the thought. They want to control the thought. Force the thought not to think, so that they can have peace. That's why they come out with methods and techniques. Then, object of meditation, to fix the thought, to prevent the thought from wandering off, means they anchor the thinking mind, the thought, to an object of meditation. Then they give you a series of instructions, either to focus, concentrate, or note. Or, like the Buddha's case is not so bad, because he teach anapanasati. He said develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. That one is correct. Means if you develop mindfulness on the object of meditation, that is correct. It's the training of the mind to be aware. But if you have the understanding, you don't have to go through all those thought-based things. You can straight away silence your mind. Use the four support to develop it. So this one is very important. Eh? Okay. So far, any question? Eh? Any question? Or anything you want to add on or maybe make clear? How many people on the online?
Yeah, Colette, MD, LC,
Those on online, so far is it clear? Do you all have any question or want to make clear, clarify further on what I have shared? Anybody? Anybody? Don't have? I don't have, then it's okay. Means it's clear. Okay, then we go to number 8. Unique code number 8. This one, maintaining awareness, is very important. To meditate is very easy. Just relax and maintain awareness, and the mundane mind will slow down until the meditative silent mind returns. So this one is based on the same understanding. Without thought, you already aware. So, to meditate, when you have this understanding, become very easy. You just have to relax body and mind and maintain awareness. Then there is no thought. When there is no thought, then the mundane mind will slow down until the meditative silent mind or our true mind returns. So with this understanding, you just relax and maintain awareness to develop this awareness-based meditation. Just let things be. That's why I always say, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. By doing that, the silent mind will develop the understanding and the awakening on its own. So this is awareness-based meditation. So all this unique code points towards the understanding of the true awareness-based meditation. This one has nothing to do with thought-based meditation. So this way of understanding will transform the meditator, the cultivator, and make you very different. Then number 9 is also a very good unique code. The meditative mind. When you are relaxed, aware, and without thought, you are at peace. Your mind is tranquil and still. This is your silent mind. This is your true mind. And we sometimes also call this our meditative mind, because it's just the awareness nature within. So your meditative mind is also your true mind or your self nature, your awareness nature, your silent mind. So use this meditative silent mind to be aware of whatever is going on or what is happening within your form and mind. Just silent and observe. Then the understanding will arise. It's only through this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can awaken. That's why the observation is the silent mind, the awareness observing. Not a mundane mind actively with the views, opinion, and conditioning observing. That one cannot observe. That one becomes subjective. Means there is an observer there that observes something. That's why Krishnamurti call it subjective. What they call thought-based observation. Whereas the other one, which is objective observation, means there is no subject involved, the I and the me. Means the pure awareness, just aware without words. That is the objective type of awareness, observation. There is no subject matter inside that. That's why it's not a subjective observation. There is no observer and the observer. It's just that thing. Objectively observing. It's that nature that observe. That is seeing things as they are. The direct seeing, the direct observation. Without the atta, without the ego. And this is the big difference. And to have this ability is not easy. You need to meditate. You need to have this silent mind stabilized to understand. Because our human mind or the mundane mind, the thought process, has been so conditioned. Because of the sakkayaditi, self-delusion, we believe there is an observer within. Or we believe there is a being inside. That's why we always use the word subjective observation to I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactilely feel and think. That ego, the atta, the sakkayaditi, self-delusion is so strong because we use the thought. Thought-based observation leads to subjective seeing. And we believe there is a thinker behind the thought. That's why all these are sakkayaditi, wrong view, or what we call ignorant avijja, not knowing the truth, where you fail to observe using the silent mind, the awareness nature. And when you fail to do that, you cannot understand the teaching. Where this teaching is beyond thought, beyond mind, not what normally thought to be by people who use thought. And we cannot blame the majority of the cultivator of the way, because the only instrument they know is thought. That's why from there, they start with the wrong instrument, and they fail to realize all this. That's why meditation is, in a way, not easy. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot get it. That's why meditation must be done with understanding. You really need a guide or a teacher that has the understanding, the awakening. Otherwise, it's impossible for them to teach. If you yourself have not realized and developed the understanding, how can you share, how can you teach? It will lead to dogmatism, or what they call thought-based type of knowledge teachings, commonly accepted scholar type, not the penetrative awareness-based that can insight into phenomena and awaken the living beings. So this understanding, hopefully by now, has been make clear, and everybody should actually have this ability to understand clearly the big difference between thought-based and awareness-based meditation. Then once that is developed, established, then you must go into it. And today's explanation is very good, because I explained the two aspects, formal meditation and informal meditation, which is the daily mindfulness. Okay, I think we can stop here. So we stop at number 9. The next session we will go to number 10. Okay, so we will have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have.
Good evening, Brother Tu. Hello, Paramita. I have a very basic questions. Which has bothered me, but I would like to
check with you. You should ask. Yes. Yeah.
It's regarding the meditations. So when I came back from Cameron Highlands, I start all over from the basics. So I started with Anapana, and then later on some. I found that Anapana is very easy to calm the mind, and it's very natural.
Yeah.
And later few set of meditations, I noticed my heartbeat again. You see, and it's very easy that I noticed the heartbeat. And I, my question is, I found that there are different between the Anapana and the heartbeats. Meditations whereby in the heartbeat, and when I stay on the heartbeat, I notice that the thought also behind chit-chat a lot, you see.
Okay.
And it's very easy to carry away by the thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereby if I use the Anapana, somehow or other, the thought is lesser, you see, and it's easiest to stay on the breathing, you see?
The object of meditation, to develop the awareness.
Correct.
So what is your question?
My question is like, is it the natural process of the thought coming along when I stay on the heartbeat, and I just stay with it, and when I have the heartbeat, I'll just stay on the heartbeat rather than, you know, go back to the anapana.
Okay, I think I know what your question is and what you are going to. You have to recall what I used to share with you all. You see, all this anapanasati or whatever method and technique you use, even Buddha or what, or chanting, they are just skillful means to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then after you have trained, then you have to stabilize it. So I already told you, anapanasati, yes, no doubt, can make you more calm, more peaceful, but you just have to be aware of the in and out breath. No need to know anything. It's just like the silent mind. You know how to relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then you settle down very fast. But most people cannot do that because the mental hindrances are there. They don't have a stable sati. They don't have that understanding of what the true mind is. So like your case is the same because you have not stabilized your sati. So what you need to do if you want to go into anapanasati, if you can settle down more easily, like your experience, you can become more calm more easily and less thought arising when you are in the awareness state. Because that one combined with the stability of mindfulness of the in and out breath can lead to absorption, can lead to what they call that peace within. That's why anapanasati in a way is very conducive for development of initial peace, initial calmness. But this is just a skillful means. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha taught the first category of cultivation is to be mindful of the in and out breath. But he don't teach you the full anapanasati teachings. The full anapanasati teaching, they call it the long discourse, is a very elaborate one. He said no need. You just have to develop the simple instruction, breathing in aware, breathing out aware. Then continue to develop it until it stabilizes. Then when it stabilizes, you will experience piti. Because when there is this awareness, there is no thought, then your mind settle down and become peaceful, calm. Then piti will arise. And piti is actually an enlightenment factor. But because anapanasati can make you so calm and so peaceful, and you can be absorbed into it, then you continue to relax and go deeper into it, then piti becomes sukhang. And most people get trapped in sukhang, where it's the blissful state of mind, very blissful. When they are at the state of sukhang, they don't know how to proceed. Yeah, most people want this repeated. That's why it becomes samatha. The mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very absorbed into it, and just want to enjoy the peace. That what they call blissfulness within. Then later on, if you continue to relax into it and maintain awareness, this anapanasati from the initial movement of mindfulness will actually slow down. Initially, it will become long breath. The long breath, you can actually develop absorption of it. But when you are completely mindful of it, you can become absorbed into it. That's why it can become very calm, make you very still. And you can experience all of the jhanic factors. Then even ekagata, one pointedness of mind, you can stay there. Yeah. But this anapanasati, you relax into it and allow it to be and allow the mind to naturally move. Then from that long breath, it will start to transform until it becomes very quiet, very still, very subtle, like hardly any breathing. That is paucity. You're supposed to develop until paucity. tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, until it's so calm, so still and tranquil, until the thought no more there, the absorption also no more there, but it's just the silent mind that is away. When you are in that state, don't panic, don't try to do anything, just stay with the silent mind, stay with the subtle breathing, don't do anything, continue to stabilize it until your mind enters a deep. That is what you're supposed to do. That's why last time I told you, if you want to do the fourth support, which is trust, to go to your heart, you cannot, because you need to stabilize it. Before your sati stabilize, you go there, no use. You don't have the stability. You can feel the heartbeat, but not stable. That's why you say the thought come and all, because it's not stable. That's why all these things happen. Then you don't have the understanding of awareness-based meditation. But when you have the understanding, this state, relax, is very deep. There are many levels of relaxation. You can go into it until it's really, really relaxed. And this state, you have to go through many, many rounds until the awareness becomes very stable. Just like anapanasati, until your mind enters deep. Then the mind doesn't move on. The mind will stay. Wherever you locate this mind, it will stay there. That's why if you stay at the heart area, it will detect the heartbeat or whatever vibration within. It will detect on its own. And then when it detects, if you stay with it, what happens? It's like anapanasati. Understand not? It's like the awareness and the heartbeat move as one. Then it becomes very quiet, very subtle, until finally, like no more heartbeat. It can happen. Yeah. Then after that, you realize your mind has entered sati. Means without heartbeat also, it can stay there. That is the stability you need. Then after that, when you come out of it, means your mindfulness that is so stable, means mind has entered sati, then every movement, every action, the awareness is with your kaya. That's why you suddenly like realize, how come everything is like magnified? Your physical movement, your physical activity, even the blinking of your eye, the turning, the bending, the stretching, like the awareness is with it. Then hearing also same. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of seeing, whatever you come to observe through your seeing consciousness, it's like the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Specific phenomena aware, like the moving car. It's just the awareness and that thing move. No word, nothing. Means your hearing is in sati. Your seeing is in sati. Then whatever you come to smell through your senses is also in sati. Your taste is also in sati. It becomes very different. Then tactile also is in sati. And you can relax very easily on. Yeah. The moment you relax, you settle down already. You are in the meditative state already. Very, very soothing. And you can rest. You can develop the awareness and all those things. Then whatever that the mind is doing, because that mind is in sati, is with the true mind, the true nature. That's why all your six sense door is in sati. Hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. The movement, the activity, everything is in sati. And then that time, your daily mindfulness will stabilize. So for your case, remember to do until it's very stable. If anapanasati suit you, then do. Do until very stable. The danger is, if you do anapanasati, people tend to go into samatha. Because the calmness is very, very like enticing. Lure meditator to every time look for it. place, they want it repeated, especially the sukhang. Then the deep absorption also same. When you go into deep absorption, the mind like completely isolate and shut down. Yeah. Like, I remember I went into the absorption. I can cut off my senses, the hearing all. When my anapanasati become very, very stable, I went into absorption. Then I realized the senses like shut down. Shut down doesn't mean doesn't function, no. Shut down means because this absorption is so strong, it can cut off the sense data, understand? I tested it because I, that time, like to meditate in the middle of the night during the early years, 86, 87. So at night, sometimes you all don't like the mushroom pit or those things, the motorbike floor, they were wrong. Then very long. Then sometimes car also do that. But because it was middle of the night, 2-3 a.m. So while I was doing the meditation, all this sound to me is not a problem where I can go into the zone. Then I realized suddenly when I went into this absorption, the hearing shut off. Then I cannot hear anything. Then I release it out, the hearing come back. Just like I know. This absorption can shut off. You can isolate your mind and stay inside. That's why they call it citta viveka. The three types of peace, you remember? The first one is the normal one. They call it the... what is the name really? The first one is... There is a Pali word for it, one I cannot remember already. The second one is citta viveka. Yeah. So citta viveka means the mind in seclusion. Understand? Yeah. The first one is not the mind in seclusion. The first one is you renounce, you go to the temple, then you seclude yourself. Understand? Means from the worldly. You settle down into a retreat, way place and all those things. They call it the... There is a word before it, don't know what. Oh, kaya vibhika. Okay, I better write it down. Yeah. Kaya vibhika. Three types of peace. First one is kaya viveka. The second one is citta viveka. So viveka means seclusion. Then the last one is there is another word. There is also what is this word already? I forgot already. Kaya viveka, citta viveka. I think it's upadhi, if I'm not wrong. You go and check it out. Eh? Upadhi viveka. Yeah. This one I'm not sure. Yeah? You have to check this one out. So what the Buddha meant is, the first one is you seclude your physical from the world. That's why you renounce the world, you take what they call, you make the decision to go for, is to renounce the world, to meditate full time, either become a monk or for a certain period. Means you go to a meditation way place or a place which is conducive for cultivation. So you seclude. Kaya is your physical seclusion. You seclude yourself from the world, the worldly. Then after that, when you do the anapanasati, which is the absorption one, you seclude the mind. Understand not? Citta vivika is mental seclusion. The mind can stay inside, I remember. Then there is like a cocoon of energy, a cylinder of energy here, very strong at the heart area, where nothing can go in. Nothing can even disturb it, even the lightning or whatever. Even people pour hot water or what on you. You cannot be disturbed at all because it's very stable. The citta has secluded. The energy is so strong. But all this, they are not the real enlightenment. Because this one is not born of wisdom. Only the third type of peace, upadhi viveka. So the Buddha said, out of these three, you have to realize the third one. The third one is born of wisdom. This type of seclusion is not born of avoiding or running away. This one is born of wisdom. That's why the Buddha realized this third type of peace. And this is true peace, meditative awakening or enlightenment. Whereas the first two, a lot of people doing the thought-based meditation, especially anapanasati or samatha or one-pointedness, they will realize the first two. Especially the citta vivika, the mental seclusion. They can seclude yourself. That's why they will go to the forest. They will go to this quiet place, very conducive, very like beautiful nature, away from society. So they call this a lot of hermit. You know the word hermit. They like to take this type of cultivation, citta vivika. They seclude themselves in all these remote places, but beautiful nature. So if you develop all this, then you will experience them and you will go through. The first type of peace is not lasting, understand not? Because it depends on the environment you are in, understand not? When the way place is conducive, you find that you can settle down, you can meditate, you can develop progress, like people going for retreat. But the moment you are out of retreat, you come back to your daily life, if you are still working, your career life, or even if you are not working, you live the household life, then you realize you find it very difficult to calm yourself down, to develop the training. That's why without a proper religious routine, the daily mindfulness, you cannot. So the first one, physical seclusion, depend on the environment, depend on the way place. So when you are out of it, you find it very difficult to settle down. That's why it's not stable, not reliable. Whereas the second one, citta vivika, yes, you can carry it throughout the day, 24 hours. Last time I did it also. My anapanasati became so stable before I met that teacher Achayantra that taught me the daily mindfulness to switch. So when I was in that absorption, I realized the second type of peace. And that time I taught Gautamari. I was still in the university. The first year I went to the university, after the first night, after I went to the talk, Chief Reverend, I came back, I sit, and I didn't know I had been there for 4 hours. Then my mind went into that anapanasati, it became so still. That's why after that, for a few weeks, my mind was like that. Then it became so still. Then during the college day, I go into anapanasati very easily, very fast. I settle down very fast. And I like to meditate that time. So because of that, first year, second year, third year, even final year, I was still doing it. So I was okay. So that time, I was like, I know I was very lucky. That time I was very lucky. Like everything, but that time when I did that one, Anapanasati, my metta very strong. Then I got a lot of loving kindness and all those things. And I did metta a lot during those early days. Then after that, when my mind developed that ability, it settled down and my life become different. I can study very well. I can have clarity to understand many things. But when I came out to work, when I start to experience the career life, then when I start to like earn a salary, then know the importance of money and all the things, then I realize inside me there is this craving to achieve more, to do better. That's why the thought become different. That time I don't meditate so often. Then more involved with career, more involved with like pursuing the materialistic success. Then think of studying law, MBA, and all those things. So funny type of thought process arrived. Then I realized inside my heart there, last time never moved on, starts to move again, no? Because of this craving, desire, and new like exposure to the working life, the career life. That's why I realized something is not right. Because when I don't meditate so often, like when I was in the uni, then all these things can come back and disturb me and stir me. That's why finally, later on, luckily, I met Ajayendra. Then, of course, in between Xuan Hua they all and my other teacher. Then when all those things happened, then I realized what I did was this samatha. Then I decided to switch from the absorption meditation, anapanasati, I release it and come out into daily mindfulness. And I did it. And because I did it, that's why later on I developed this ability to understand awareness base. Then finally when I met my last guy, he showed me the gateway, then I understood the whole thing. That's why from there onward I connected back to my spiritual nature. Then I start to recall a lot of my cultivation, my practice and all the things that I understand. Then my nature transformed and I become different. That's how all these are possible. So for you, Jinhao, always remember, stabilize it. Sati need to be stabilized. Whether you study Anapanasati or whatever, it's the same. You stabilize it until your mind enters Sati. Then have a religious routine. Every morning, wake up, pay respect, triple jam, meditate for a while. 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, if you can, half an hour. Because when you have the time, the luxury of semi-retirement or what, you do it. Unless you retain this routine, then in between, maintain daily mindfulness. Everything you do, aware. When you bow, aware, walk, aware. Whatever activity you do, driving, everything, aware. Then learn to do the formal meditation. Relax, maintain awareness, support. It's the same. Finally, this one will come. But this one can only come when your daily mindfulness stabilizes. You must develop the stability or sati. Means either anapanasati, like I say, you meditate until very subtle, like no more movement, no more breathing. Means the mind got no more object of meditation. But don't worry, stay with the nostril there. Maintain awareness there. Then if you are patient enough, suddenly one day you realize the anapanasati come back. Even the subtle breathing, you can pick it up. What does it mean? It means your mind has entered sati. It has become more refined. Your sati has become more refined. It has gone beyond the normal sati. Well, the normal sati need phenomena, need movement to anchor it. This more refined, the higher, more refined sati, don't need anything to anchor on. That's why stay with the silent mind. Stay with the awareness, the subtle breathing. It's the same. Whether it's a heartbeat or what, but you must reach that stability, then stay with it. Well, when you reach that stability, your mind is in sati. Wherever you locate your mind, it will stay there. Then all these thoughts, no more. No more. Cannot arise on. Cannot arise on. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. And you can nominate somebody.
Maybe Sister Po Ching?
Yeah. Po Ching, are you there?
Yes. Amitofo, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas. Thank you, Brother Chin Hao, for nominating me. Okay, Brother Teo, talking about Anapanasati, this is one of my favorite method of meditation. Before I start doing the awareness based meditation that is taught by Brother Teo. Okay, Brother Teo, I want to say a little bit about this so that Brother Chin Hao can also benefit from it. Maybe Brother Teo can also elaborate on that as well. You see, when I did the Anapanasati, because like Brother Chin Hao said, it kind of give you an anchor to anchor your mind so that you become peace and calm, you know? Okay, the thing about this is just a skillful mean. Yes, correct. You just do, huh, Brother Teo? What I want to say is something in addition to what Brother Teo said. So you go through the calm, you attain the piti, the sukang, you know? After that, the breath is so subtle, huh? So subtle.
Yeah.
No more breath, but your sati able to pick the so-called the long breath. You actually can observe a way of the breath, you know, the breath.
That long breath can be very long.
Very, very long.
One make you very calm during that time.
Yes, correct. So
that one you can be with it for quite a few months sometimes.
It can be very long in your meditation period.
And then the
thing is this, Brother Teo, because I relax into it, right?
That is the key. When you relax into it, it becomes different.
Yes, it becomes different. It's no longer, it's not a samatha or whatever.
Correct. It's not absorption anymore. Yes. It does not bring you into that very deep calmness.
Yes. So the key is you need to relax. Relax until heart.
Sadhu, very good.
Yes. It drop into your heart, Brother Teo. It drop into your heart. And then you can actually aware of your heart. Heartbeat. It's like a stethoscope.
So that
is what will happen, you know. It will transform, It will transform. And then this heartbeat is so clear. You can see your heart. Actually, you can see your heart beating. The clarity, is crystal clear one.
It is very, very
amazing, I would say this word. Because that was the first time I saw it, I was like, what is it? Of course, it's outside after I come out of it. What is this, you know, that I have never seen before? Yes, it's super amazing. That is where we need to arrive, you know, to arrive to that point. And then as you relax into it. If you can do it, then you will detect your gateway and you enter into your gateway and everything flow in very soothing, you know.
Sadhu.
This is what I want to add. So this is how you can achieve through Anapanasati also, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very true.
Yes. So that is the amazing thing about Anapanasati, like, I realized. Yes.
Yeah.
So beside the four, I mean, after that, I use also Brother Teo's method, the four support, right? I do it the way.
That one very
and you
useful.
Also, yes, you also can enter into your gateway, your pure.
And then after that,
you can also relinquish. I mean, you actually can return the pure awareness back into the nature, into the nature.
Yes.
So that is using the lying down.
During that time, you don't need any object of meditation.
Yes, correct.
Very good, very beautiful.
So you return everything to the Buddha nature, and that's when you do the lying down meditation, it's because super relaxing. So the whole thing about this meditation is really about relaxation. If you can do the relaxation very, very well, you can achieve all this, you know. Yeah, you will not go into absorption at all, even with Anapanasati.
Yeah. This one is very true. Because I forgot to elaborate on the long breath. Actually, the long breath, last time I did for very long. Then when I was doing the long breath, the breath actually take me to the heart. Oh, take me to the heart, long breath. Every time I hit the mind base. Then my Anapanasati very strong. Then my mind base also open up. But that time, I don't know the four support yet. I don't know how to relax into it. That's why until later on, when I shift my meditation into daily mindfulness, then only I do the relaxation part. But by then, my Anapanasati already went through the long breath and stopped at the subtle breathing already. Well, I realized the subtle breathing long ago. Now Po Ching mentioned, I recall, which is correct. So what Po Ching was describing to you is very beautiful. Well, she actually was with the right timing. When she started doing, she actually reported to me and consulted me. Then she followed a lot of my instructions. That's why she got the benefit of the four support relax. That one actually, during the long breath, when you have this ability to relax, then it will not go into absorption, then it will go into normal awareness. And then it can stop at the heart also. Then that's why he can move so fast. Now I understand why. Sadhu to you, Po Ching. Sadhu.
That is how it happened to me, Brother Jin Hao to benefit.
It will help a lot of people. That's why the relaxation stage is very important. If you don't relax into every mind state, the absorption that build up during the long Anapanasati long breath, it becomes absorption. The mind become very calm. Then you experience all of the piti, sukhang, and all those things. Then your mind become like very, very absorbed into it. Then you can go into seclusion, citta vivika, and all that. It's like the whole mind secluded. You can shut off your senses. The shutting off the senses, I think, Po Ching didn't manage to experience it. It was because he relaxed. She was able to relax into it and transform that absorption meditation of Anapanasati into pure awareness. That's how she moved in very fast. I was actually, during the Vasti day, when I was doing it, I was actually doing all the way Anapanasati. And I didn't learn the four support yet at that time, until later. Until I shift my cultivation to daily mindfulness. Very good, sadhu, Po Ching.
Sadhu. Actually, I benefited from the relaxation. That's why I am able to explain to Brother Jin Hao now that You know, it can be done, you know, if you relax into
it,
you know.
Yeah. It can be done.
So it's a very beautiful process, you know, that I mean, if you relax into all the process that you are doing, you know, in the meditation, it will lead you. I mean, everything is naturally happening, you know, there's nothing that the mundane mind is involved. There's no mental hindrance. There's no mundane mind. Everything is by itself, you know, just go and go and go, you know, it flow by itself. So it's very, very, you know, very amazing. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the word is that.
Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
Continue.
So, I mean, talking about this, Anasati, right? Brother Teo, before I actually learned from Brother Teo, right? I did my first Anapanasati. When I went to the Cameron Highland retreat in 2017, right? Brother Teo, do you recall that I reported to you the first Anapanasati that I did in that particular retreat? I wanted to, maybe I just explain quickly, huh?
I
wanted to attend a one-day retreat during the National Day, which is the 9th of August in Singapore, which is the public holiday.
I've
not learned anything on meditation that, you know, if you attend one day, meaning the whole day is walking, sitting, walking, sitting. Walking, sitting, walking, sitting. How am I supposed to tahan when I don't know about meditation? You know, the only thing I learned initially is just Anapanasati. It does help me, but I did the training at home. And then I actually share with Brad, I did the training at home. I sit down. I say I do 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And after that, I slowly increase the timing. But I have to slowly increase it until 1 hour, because the meditation is 1 hour or 1.5 hour per session.
It's the best. You can do until 1 hour to 1.5 hours.
Yes. So the first time, not the first time, but the first time I experienced a long meditation is when I was at home trying to learn to attend for the so-called one-day retreat. So I sit there, force myself to sit there for a longer time, for 1 hour, you know. And then, Brother Teo, you said, it went to, actually, I don't know what is that at that point in time, but I described to Brother Teo that time at the Cameron Highland retreat.
So
I sit there and I feel my leg pain, pain until cannot tahan anymore. I continue with my Anapanasati. I said, I must do it until I achieved the so-called alarm ring, you know.
But
I will sit there, regardless what happened to my leg. I did that, brother. I did that, and then my mind, that time I don't know what happened, because that time I still very blur. I don't know what happened, but my pain all disappeared.
Because the shift. The shift of consciousness happened. The mind become very bright, flash off.
It flash. It's really flash. It flash and it went to the space, you know, the space that I see very fast. My mind is moving very fast, you know, there's only the mind that moves very fast in
the
space, you know.
The infinite space,
So I remember what Brother Teo tell me in the retreat. That time, I don't know. I explained to some teachers that I attend some kind of course in a so-called when the teacher come, they say anything to report, so I report. They cannot explain to me what happened to me.
They cannot.
Brother Teo explained to me is like, what Brother Teo said, he went to this Arupa. I remember Brother Teo said Arupa. Arupa,
because
only the mind is moving inside the space, you know. So that happened to me. So I able to overcome the pain of my leg and went.
It flashed through.
It disappeared and then no more pain. I feel very good, very good. Whereas after I come out of the meditation, I tell you there is so much, I don't know what you call that, but my mind is very happy. All day, you know.
Yeah, whole day. The peace and the joy The
yes.
B is very strong.
Yeah, very, very strong. It like happy all the time, you know, regardless of what is happening.
Now I understand why you can break free so fast. Because your heart, when you do the infinite space, your heart area, there is like the energy there is so strong, but it's very soothing one. That one actually help you to open up. Then you connect back. Means you have done this before in the past. Oh, now I understand why you can progress so far. At that time, when you describe to me how you locate the gateway, I say, this is fantastic. How can it be so fast? And now I understand from the way you describe. You went into the anapanasati. Then you learn the relaxation early. Then you sit through the pain. That one help. I also did it in the early days.
I sit through the pain because I was very determined to attend the one
day.
You know, so I put the alarm there. I said, I must sit there for at least 1 hour. If the pain, I just never mind. So I used the anapanasati, like you said, I don't know, it cut me so well, huh, that it just flash into this space, that is very, very, very interesting space.
Beautiful, so different. Yes. Then it is like the mind traveling into infinite space.
Yes, it's traveling very fast into this.
Yeah, very fast one. And very calm one.
Very calm. You don't know what is going on.
Then throughout the day, you are in that calmness,
Yes. Very, very calm, very, very happy. Actually, not just days or weeks, months of radio.
You know? If you continue with that type of training, it can be there for months.
For months,
that time, the first day I went into that when I was in the university, it was with me for 1 or 2 weeks. 1 or 2 weeks, that's it.
Okay, then I think maybe no time lah. Now it's 10:30. I will explain, continue another day lah. Talk about this pain thing that will benefit other people as well. The pain
that
of the
really
leg.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sadhu.
Yeah.
I hope
let us rejoice.
Sadhu. Oh, this is beautiful. So we will reserve the next slot for you, Bojay. Sadhu. So this is really beautiful. This is what real cultivation is. When you do it correctly, you move very fast. And now I can understand why she can move so fast. It was because of the anapanasati. Then she connect back. You see, this anapanasati, that's why the Buddha also taught it, is because it's very, very conducive. And it's a neutral object of meditation, the breath. Every body of us, every living being, we have the breath. But this is the life force. When the breath is there, the life force is there. So this breath, when you maintain awareness, is always in the present moment. It can never be in the future or the past. So when you are mindful of it, it's always there. That's why anapanasati means sati is mindfulness. Anapana is in and out breath. So mindfulness of the in and out breath, that is the most beautiful. So when you do that, you remember to relax into it. Then now I can also recall, in the early days, when my anapanasati build up very stable, the long breath come, then it take me to my heart. The one breath, in breath, very long. It's like a few minutes or sometimes. You go to the breath here. Then the whole thing like very clear one. The whole breath is like very clear, like she described. Very, very clear, like in a microscope you see one. A lot of thing inside there that no word can describe one. You have to be in that mindfulness state to actually understand. It's like so much thing inside there, Like the scientists under the microscope can see so clearly, everything. That breath is like very, very clear to you. The whole lot of movement, no? Every action, every movement of it, very, and no thought on, no? That's why the peace, the joy, the calmness, the pity, the sukhang, everything is there. And you feel very good throughout the day. So, all these are possible when you do it correctly. Then if you know how to relax into it during that time, it will prevent you from going into absorption. But actually, no harm. You want to experience absorption first, also no harm. Then after that, release it, come out. Then you revert back to the relaxation to develop the normal awareness. And after that, when it's dropped to the heart by itself, and like Po Ching went through, then after that, the breathing become very subtle, like no more breathing. Then at the heart there, it's like the stethoscope, but you are not wearing the stethoscope. The heartbeat, everything become very clear. Then initially it's like pounding, then it become more subtle. Then after that, it become very quiet, very still. Then you just trust that nature. Then you will locate the gateway, then you will go in. All the energy will melt inside. Oh, very soothing. So this is beautiful. Okay, let us do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we will end. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom. Sadhu.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, let's put our palms together. Say thank you to Brian Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming on the ways to share this profound Buddha Dhamma with us by Sadhu three times.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to Sister PG for fetching Brantio and Mrs. Teo.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Jin Hao for helping out with the Zoom session and the recording.
Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to Sister Po Ching for the beautiful sharing.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to everybody for being here tonight.
Thank you to Sir Tamasuri and for hosting this Dhamma session with all of us.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.